The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thomas, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is good. Off the top of the wall and out of here. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone. We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Yelich, a home run and three walks in this game. He has scored twice. 2-0 delivery, here it is. Yelich lines a base hit to left. In the gap. It's going to the wall. They're going to score the winning run. Here comes Lorenzo Cain. He's in there. And the Brewers have beaten St. Louis.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like
it is a good morning, nay, great morning here at AmFam Field for opening day 2025 as the Brewers get set to host the Royals here in Milwaukee. And I don't care what it is outside, it is gorgeous in here. It is comfortable. It is beautiful. Chewy is obsessed with the grass. Mm-hmm. We are efforting to talk to a grounds crew member to answer some of his more pressing questions. But one of the pressing topics around Major League Baseball this weekend was the new torpedo bats that took the league by storm. Drawing attention, of course, it doesn't hurt when the New York Yankees hit 9 home runs that traveled nearly 4,000 feet on Saturday. So the torpedo bats, Chew, we were telling you, they're this new model. They're this new style of bat. Gabe, your understanding is that AI was involved.
It started with the Yankees analytic department where they noticed that Anthony Volpe was hitting a lot of balls down by the trademark, which typically is jammed. You're not getting a lot of good contact there. It's going to be weak contact. And when he's doing that, they go, well, what if we just what if we just move the barrel to there? So they kind of move the barrel a little bit south, so it kind of, you know, it's a little thicker there instead of where the barrel typically is. And they debuted that. They had a handful of guys use them. I know Volpe did. Jazz Chisholm, who had a couple of home runs. Cody Bellinger was using one. So they've got a handful of guys that decided to use them and seemed to work out for them quite a bit this weekend.
There were a ton of questions about it, Chew, which was, first and foremost, is it legal?
Yes.
You know, because there's so many parameters and rules about how a bat can be structured. Fact is, it is legal. But now, of course, it starts this domino effect. Now it starts this snowball effect where other teams around the league are asking their bat guys, asking their clubbies, hey, how quickly can we get these torpedo bats in our hands? Because whether you believe it or not, it could have been coincidental, right? Maybe the Yankees just have a murderer's row lineup this year, Gabe, and they're just going to be a good hitting team no matter what they're using to hit the ball.
I mean, Aaron Judge isn't using one because it turns out he's been good at, you know, hitting the barrel his entire career, so why would he change? And he had 4 of the home runs they hit this weekend, so you got Aaron Judge in the lineup. It's certainly, you know, it's not going to be a bat for everyone because if you're comfortable using that type of bat, but you know somebody, you know, Rhys Hoskins had said that I'd be interested in at least trying it out, see if he'd be good for me.
It's just bizarre to me that the rest of the league doesn't know about this. I would assume that, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Do guys have deals with bat companies?
Yes.
Then why wouldn't a bat company say, hey, we got these new torpedo bats, they're supposed to be really, really good?
That's a layer that is definitely going to continue to be unearthed in this because it sounds like it was a smaller company that came up with this technology. And for them, this was the best case scenario, man. You can unveil these bats during spring training, but maybe they are a blip during the sports, you know, story circulation. But you come out opening day, first game of the year, Yankees versus Brewers, bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam, everybody's seeing the weird oblong shape, and now it's a media bonanza. So I understand why they kept it under wraps. I understand the proprietary information element of it. But now I hear that guys, like you said, Reese Hoskins, they're asking their clubbies, how quickly can we get these in our hands?
Yeah.
And the guys are like, it's not that simple, man. Because each bat is customized to each player, their individual sweet spot, where they hit the ball most consistently. And so guys like Jason, who were watching work his tail off this morning to get the dugout ready for opening day here at AmFam Field, he says it's going to take at least 3 weeks before he can have a bat, maybe two. If he gets, you know, if you're in the lab immediately with the computers and the information, you get that out to them, maybe 2 weeks. But we're talking about a delay.
Because it's not like the one thing that just seemed like weird, really weird about how this all came out, it's not one size fits all. Like every guy, you got a different length of a bat. You got a different, you know, the bat might be heavier. It might be a little bit lighter. And there's all these different things that go into how comfortable you are with it. So it's not even like, oh, I'm going to grab this and put it into play today. You're probably going to want to take some time to see how it works for you.
Let me ask you this. Is it a big deal? Because when I played, you know, throughout the season, they'd be coming out with new shoes, new seven studs, right?
Yeah.
And you'd wear them, and I'd be like, these stink. They're terrible. You know, I'm going back to my old shoe, and they want you to wear the new one, you know, for in the exposure and kids seeing it and wanting it and stuff like that. But with a bat, does that take some adjusting to it?
Oh, exactly. It would take some adjusting. I think it's a big deal because, I mean, bat technology, I think the biggest thing that's happened in the last 100 years is when they cupped the end of it and took a little of the bed of the bat. Like, bat technology hasn't gone anywhere outside of aluminum bats, right?
And yeah.
It's little changes certainly here and there, but this is kind of a big deal for, you know, for some players if this is something you want to use.
So, is this bat benefit contact hitters more instead of sluggers?
It depends. Again, I think it From some of the explanations I saw Trevor Plouffe, who played in Major League Baseball for 9-10 years, kind of talking about it, where it's similar for some guys. Like when you choke up on the bat, you have more barrel control because your hands are closer to the barrel, but you don't have to choke up on the bat, and it should, in theory, still be able to give you the power you're looking for. So I think, again, if that's an area where you make a lot of contact, I think this is a big deal for you.
Technology is always evolving. We have talked on this program about how that little company, the technology company that was working in virtual reality, had a deal with LSU, and that's why Jaden Daniels got the virtual reality before anybody else. So he's there working for months and months in advance at 2 times the speed, or 1.5, whatever the number was. And then when he got out there on the field, it was slow. The actual action was slow. And then all these other quarterbacks are going, well, how can I get my hands on the VR? But then he has that head start that you can't argue didn't contribute to his Heisman candidate and Heisman winning season, you know? So the Yankees have a leg up. That's the bottom line. Right now, because they have had the technology, because they used it during spring training, they got used to it, they've got a leg up, and that's why these other teams are going to be chasing a little bit, you know?
But is it because they're the Yankees? To me, it sounds a little squirrely.
Well, because
doesn't it?
Bats have certain specifications. It's not like the barrel is bigger.
No, but why was it given to the Yankees right out of the gate and not given to...
It was their analytic department that discovered the thing with Anthony Volpe. And they're like, well, what if we tried to do this? And then they got the bat companies, you know, whatever bat company they were working with to develop it.
Okay.
And they were the ones that had the idea. They were the ones that then contacted this bat company and executed the idea.
Yeah.
And they just did a really good job of keeping a lid on.
Wow.
Is there anything, you mentioned the studs in football, is there anything when you were playing Chew that was comparable where it was like all of a sudden this technology evolved beyond what everybody else was doing and you saw it actually working? Like, is there anything?
Gloves. I mean, if you remember Sterling back in the day, Sterling wore the scuba gloves. But the problem with me, I didn't like the scubas because they were so thick. You know, they were thick and you really couldn't feel the ball with your fingers and your points. But they were they weren't tacky like the gloves. The gloves today are ridiculous. How anyone drops a ball is beyond me.
Shots fired, Green Bay Packers wide receivers.
Yeah. Just,
beyond me.
You put the ball on the tee, and you didn't expect him to take a big swing at it.
But gloves were always trying to catch up, and who's got the most tackified one, and this and that. And then they did away with So awesome.
Should we do a play-by-play? It feels like it needs a play-by-play.
Jen and I looked at each other when we heard the noise, and we got to tell them what it was. That freaked me the heck out.
It was just, yeah, they've got the hose on so they can water down the infield dirt.
The smile Chewy got on his face when we all heard the noise.
Because now I want to see the grid pattern of the sprinklers here. See if I'm doing anything wrong at my house.
Watch them while you do it. Give them play-by-play.
It is very soothing. I don't know how else to explain it, but watching these guys wet down the area around the batter's box, around home plate.
We are talking about baseball, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is very soothing.
Good, good. You should come on the show more.
Yeah. Can't ever yell at us ever again.
Nope. I think we're good. Yeah, I think we are good. So gloves was an area. Gabe, can you think of anything else in sports? We just talked about the virtual reality where technology sort of pops on the scene and then everybody else is sort of playing catch up to try to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything in basketball. I can't think of anything there.
Probably sneakers because they've got to be really finicky about their sneakers when it comes to hoops. But the ball?
Well, but like in running, remember a few years back when that carbon implant in the running shoes became a thing and they had this huge debate about whether or not it was fair or unfair, if it gave the people who were running with that an unfair advantage because there was some sort of like propulsion, again, the way that the carbon was in the shoe sort of sprung them off of off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, it's not... I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is. It's certainly an advantage if you have a handful of guys in your lineup that are going to want to use a bat like this.
What's crazy is I'm reading here that the gentleman who was the front office staffer now works for the Miami Marlins. You would think that the Miami Marlins might have that technology.
They didn't want to pay for it.
It's not shocking that the Marlins don't have it. I don't think anybody's incredibly surprised by that. They don't want to pony up for a couple extra bats.
Well, it is something that people, I'm sure, are going to be talking about. And what will be interesting, I think I saw there was one Cleveland hitter. Maybe I saw that on social media this weekend, who also has a torpedo bat. So obviously maybe had a leg up on some of the rest of the league. But I think we're talking a couple of weeks, and you'll start seeing some Brewers players. And you may not see them in the games right away, but you were talking about BP earlier, Gabe. I wouldn't be surprised if you're seeing guys out here or in the cage underneath trying out these torpedo-style bats to see if they give them an advantage.
If I'm the Yankees, I would sell them like a number. You know, Reggie taking Yurko's number. Hey, you want one of these torpedo bats? $5,000.
They are customized. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's again, that's the tough part.
You're like
the
Yankees buying your jersey to wear on a daily basis.
If the Yankees tried to say, no, this is our patent, nobody else can have it, then I think baseball would step in that situation.
That would be an issue. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Are you in favor of these types of advances in technology? I think that the biggest issue you could probably have is that they kept it to themselves, right? That it was like this secret squirrel all throughout spring. How did we not know about it through spring training? Those games were being broadcast. People were watching it. You're telling me Yankees fans were going, what the hell does he have on his shoulder out there?
Or someone is still friends with Devin Williams going, hey, did you hear about these new bats? You know, players talk all the time.
Or the catcher picks up the bat after Volpe used one.
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is surprising that it didn't creep out, get out.
Which, I hate the Yankees, but like... Good on them for being able to keep the secret, man. Nobody can keep a secret nowadays. Chewy doesn't know if it's a secret or not.
Yeah.
You're telling me they don't have somebody on the Yankees who's confused that if they were supposed to keep it a secret or not keep it a secret?
100%. There's got to be somebody like that, confused about what they can and cannot say, and all of a sudden you got torpedo bats all over the league. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Anyway, it was fascinating to see the reaction to it and then, of course, people digging on it and all of the information that is out there about it. And if you're wondering how it impacts your local team, the Milwaukee Brewers. Gabe, you mentioned it. Yeah, they're asking. Yeah, how soon can we have these in our hands? Yeah, when can we get these? And Jason, the clubhouse manager over here, along with Tony, was saying it's going to take a couple weeks.
I'm surprised the league doesn't step in and saying, okay, no one can use a torpedo bats until everyone is able to have one. Because to me, it does sound like an advantage.
It can be for certain players.
But here's the thing, Chew. In a couple of weeks, if those hitters have cooled off, those torpedo bats are right back in the rack.
They're selling them for firewood out in the team store.
Love it. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still so much more to get to this morning. We're going to talk to Josh Maurer. It looks like he is walking our way, so we'll chat with him right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, live from AmFam Field to celebrate opening day of your Milwaukee Brewers.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you know what I'm going to tell you. There's only one place to go, of course. It is the Jewelry Center because of the helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together at the Jewelry Center. They're always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, the Jewelry Center has what you're looking for. And again, that helpful team, if you don't know what your special someone is looking for in that engagement ring, take a look at our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring that in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to be able to help you out. Stop in at any one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or just shop online, shoptjc.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
We are live at AmFam Field today for opening day 2025, and we have had a great cast of characters roll through here this morning. Josh Maurer, just the latest. Josh Maurer, broadcaster, play-by-play for your Milwaukee Brewers. And I was just saying to Chu, I said, Chu, you know, he calls Boston College basketball games.
Oh, do you really?
I have been still doing that. I did about half of the season.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. We made a little compromise because I live here. So a commute to Boston for 32 games is a bit much.
Oh.
Yeah, Gabe and I were sharing some time on Bucks Radio.
On Bucks Radio this year, yep.
Conti Forum.
Conti Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Know it well.
You snuck in there many a time.
Know it.
That sounds like a saying, like carpe diem.
Yeah.
absolutely. Josh, obviously.
We're going to carpe diem today.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Thank you for that segue. It is going to be an exciting day. It is going to be an emotional day. How are you and your fellow broadcasters handling the grave responsibility of honoring Bob Uecker as we continue in this Brewer season, but obviously specifically for the home opener, but also recognizing it is a celebration. People are excited. Optimism, even what happened in New York, there's a lot of optimism.
I heard those
surrounding
games don't count.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism surrounding this team. How do you walk that fine line? How do you find that balance?
I think, Jen, I appreciate that question because it's hard. I think today is going to be the most challenging day for us in the radio booth because this is the first time that we're going to go into that booth and Bob's not there with us. Yeah, it's emotional just to think about that. But there are different milestones that we've already had to go through. The first game of spring training, and Bob was always in Arizona, so he wasn't there for that. And then this season opener in New York, the first regular season game that we broadcast on the air without Bob. They did a moment of silence at Yankee Stadium yesterday, which was very nice. The Yankees did that. But I think today it's going to hit you the most. And I honestly, I can't say how you get through it other than you just have to do your job the way that he would want you to do it. And he would say to all of us, to a man, get over it. Come on. You got work to do. Don't worry about, you know, we don't worry about this. But it Bob's always going to be on our mind every time we step in any broadcast booth, calling a Milwaukee Brewers game, but especially this booth here. This is his booth, and it always will be his booth. And I think it then is incumbent upon those of us that get to wear that headset to honor that legacy and do things the way that he would want them done. Every broadcast that we do, he's going to be in the front of our minds. And I think today more so than most.
Yeah, I mean, you had Lane with the first, the first home run, giving the traditional Bob Uecker call at Yankee Stadium. I know Joe Buck was tweeting about, I wanted to do something, but I didn't know how it was going to necessarily be received if I gave a little tip of the cap to Bob. Do you guys have anything else in the booth that you guys are going to try to do to maybe honor Bob throughout the course of the year?
No, nothing specific. I think the home run call was very special, and we had decided between the three of us that the first home run that was hit, at least the first home run that meant something, we would do it, and then that would be it. Mm-hmm. That call's going to be retired, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's on these airwaves. But the first one was for Bob. the rest of the season and the rest of the time that we all work here in this booth, I think you honor Bob by going about things the way that he did, with levity, with humor, but with ultimate respect for the game at all times and respect for those that play the game and for those that coach the game. This sport, this meant the world to Bob, and he was famous for things way outside of the world of baseball, but the thing that he held most near and dear to his heart was the sport of baseball and the Milwaukee Brewers in particular. So I think to honor his legacy, you keep those ideals always first and foremost in your mind when you do the job, and that's what we plan on.
Why do you think there was such a connection between Bob, even in his 90s, and the players today?
Man, you know, Chewy, that's a great question. I think it's because he always still felt like a player. Even when he was getting into his 80s and then at the age of 90 last year, at heart, he was still that catcher that caught for the Milwaukee Braves or, you know, for later the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. Bob was a player. He was a baseball player at heart. And everything that he did after that, while great and while it made him famous, the comedy, the acting, he was still a baseball player. This guy from Milwaukee who made it to the major leagues. And that's what he, I think, ultimately would want to be remembered as. He was a baseball guy. And those guys in the clubhouse here, they recognized him for being that, and he loved them for it.
Yeah.
Josh Maurer joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we talk about the Brewers in 2025. So let's talk about the guys in that clubhouse. Obviously, the Yankee series did not go in any way, shape, or form the way that we wanted it to go. However, we were talking about they still put the bat on the ball, still drove in some runs. And I was saying that, you know, without the wind and without the torpedo bats and Aaron Judge and all of the other things that the Yankees have going for them, there were things to be excited about with this crew. Tell our loyal listeners, what are some things that you are excited about when it comes to the Brewers in 2025?
I think there's a few that stand out for me. Number one is the continued development of Jackson Chourio. And if you watched Jackson last year from day one till the end of the season in that playoff series, he improved fivefold, tenfold, 15-fold. I mean, you wouldn't have recognized
20. No, I hear
the
20.
Guy. Keep going. Keep going. You wouldn't have recognized the guy that played his first home game here in April to the guy that was then on the field in that series against the Mets in the postseason. He was unbelievable. He was the best player in that series. And he was 20 years old. He's 21 now, by the way. But I think he's got an opportunity this year to be a top five player in the National League. Uh-huh. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolic. The sky is truly the limit for Jackson Chourio. He had a rough opening day, I know. But then he looked fine on Saturday and Sunday. He'll be great. So the continued development and taking perhaps a step up further into the baseball stratosphere, for me, that's tops on the list of things that I'm looking forward to. And then there's Christian Yelich. You know, we forget, Christian Yelich has been here for a while now, so Milwaukee fans are very familiar with him. But he was having one of his best seasons of his career last year before the back issue shut him down. He had a major back procedure, and we wondered what he was going to look like when he finally got back onto the field in spring training. Honestly, he looked like Christian Yelich of last year before the injury. And I think that's an amazing development for the Brewers, because if he can be that, if he's an all-star caliber player, then this is one of the best lineups in the National League when you combine him with Chourio and the other guys, Contreras, Hoskins, those guys around him.
I'm really excited for Garrett Mitchell. I hope he can stay healthy, because that's the one thing that's kind of held him back the last 2 years. I look at him as someone that can replace some of the power numbers you lost with Willy Adames. How did Garrett look, and what are your thoughts on Garrett Mitchell?
I think that's the way that the team is starting to look at Garrett. He's, when he first came up to the big leagues, known as a speed guy, known as maybe a top-of-the-order type player. But the thinking is being revisited. Hey, this guy can really impact the baseball. He can do damage. And so they're going to put him in the middle of the order and give him opportunities to replace some of those home runs and RBIs that Willy Adames' absence obviously creates. I think Garrett's got an opportunity to be that kind of player. The one thing that he's going to have to be able to do, he's going to be able to hit left-handed pitching. He's got to play every day. if he's going to be that kind of productive Major League Baseball player, and he's got to be able to hit lefties. We'll see a lefty here today. Garrett Mitchell is going to be in the lineup, so he's getting these opportunities, especially early in the year, Gabe, because Blake Perkins is injured, and Perkins would otherwise have probably gotten those starts.
I think one part of the organization that doesn't get enough credit is the front office. I mean, the moves they have made. And we talk about this on our show with the three professional sports in the state. Me, personally, I trust the Brewers front office and what they did. They're up against it. Baseball's not a fair game. You know, when you have New York and Boston and L.A. spend this amount of money and the Brewers and the small markets teams send the fact that they knew to sign Jackson to a long-term contract before he even stepped on the field is and I don't think they get enough credit. I think they're great.
Yeah. I think what they have done, or at least what they should have done, is earn everybody's benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because if you look at what's happened over the last decade, that front office has consistently put together a winning team, a playoff-caliber team, a division-winning team with the smallest market in the major leagues and one of the lesser payrolls. But they've been able to do it regardless, despite those constraints that they've had to operate within. And they've made some very painful moves. They've had to trade away Josh Hader, Corbin Burns, Devin Williams this year. That's only in the last three seasons. Those are all-star players. Willy Adames left, free agent. But I think when I say you've earned the benefit of the doubt, you have to say, look, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if they have to let one of those players go, I think we, me as a broadcaster and hopefully fans say, well, we realize they've got a plan. And as long as they keep executing it the way that they have been over the last 10 years or so, that they're still going to be a competitive playoff caliber baseball team.
Josh Maurer, play-by-play for the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Talk me through the starting rotation. Because we're not in a position right now where
it's
going to
be a short conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
So obviously we want to see Fastball Freddy out there. We obviously don't want to see some of the struggles that some of the other guys had in that first series. But how confident should we be about where the starting rotation is? We know there are guys who are currently injured, who they hope to get back in the mix, but those are sort of back of the order guys. How should we feel about how this rotation stands up against some of the others in the division?
Well, I can tell you that right now Pat Murphy even isn't terribly thrilled about what he's having to use because of the injuries that you mentioned. There are guys, they thought they were coming into spring training with some pretty good depth. Aaron Ashby, D.L. Hall, Tobias Myers.
Hurt.
Those three are all hurt, right? And yesterday, Aaron Civale, who was the Game 3 starting pitcher, he left. He had a hamstring issue. I hope he's okay. We haven't gotten an update on that yet. Today's home opener is going to be started by a guy who's never pitched for the Brewers before, a guy named Elvin Rodriguez. They signed him out of Japan this offseason. He's going to make his team debut, and it's going to be in one of the biggest home games of the season. So that's kind of where we are right now. But I'm going to spin it forward, and hopefully in July we're talking about a rotation that has Freddy Peralta and Brandon Woodruff at the front of it. And Nestor Cortez, I know his debut did not go anywhere near the way that he nor any of us wanted it to go, but Nestor's got a track record of being a very good major league pitcher. I think that sounds like a pretty darn good top three, plus Tobias Myers.
Jose Quintana was an opening day starter a year ago.
Right. Jose Quintana was pitching at the end of September, and then in the playoffs for the Mets, he was pitching as well as anybody in baseball, and they signed him. He's not ready to go yet. I'm glad you brought him up, Gabe, because that's a guy that's still kind of ramping up to be able to pitch in a regular season game. He's coming soon. So there's reinforcements coming. Just right now, we might have to go through some growing pains.
So we're in a wait-and-see sort of spot when it comes to the Brewers' starting rotation. Josh, we can't thank you enough for taking time out this morning, a busy morning, an exciting morning, as we celebrate opening day here at AmFam Field. Thanks for hanging out with
us. It's great to have you guys here. We're always happy when we get to see you here.
I got to tell you, though, man, I almost started crying when he was talking about you. I was like, I can't do this. It's going to be a tough one. It was very, very heartfelt. Really appreciate that. And I think a lot of people are going to be feeling things today. There are going to be a lot of strong feelings surrounding this game.
How about the outfield grass?
That's unbelievable.
There we go. Bring it back.
Now you're talking Chewy's
language. You're talking about the Euchre thing.
I'm talking about Bob Euchre's stencil.
Yeah, that too.
the grass looks
great. Very distracting.
Have you seen the new sign up in the corner?
Yes.
I must be in the front row. So here. It's fantastic. So yeah, it's going to be an emotional day, but we're excited for it.
Josh, thank you for hanging out with us. Have a great call today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's conveniently located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee in the Theater District with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Fantastic morning here at AmFam Field, sitting on the Brewers' brown dirt of the
warning
track.
That was a nice little
track.
Tidbit from Marty.
Yeah, it was. Brewers' brown, how other ballparks have used Brewers' brown, the color of this dirt, the consistency of this dirt on their warning tracks as well. Like I said, you get bragging rights there. You find out that another ballpark is using your dirt, your formula, if you will. I think that's pretty impressive. We are joined now by Sean Marefka. He is the Senior Director of Merch and Retail Ops. He introduced himself as Merch Guy. Merch Guy.
Yep, that's me.
It's a great one. We decided that Chewy's nickname from one of our loyal listeners is the Lawn Ranger.
Yeah, I heard that too this morning.
I think
it was like 6 a.m. I heard that.
I love that he sat down and goes, I don't know anything about the grass. Yep. Like, he just wanted to put that out there, Chew. He's not the guy for the grass, but you are the guy for the merch. So talk to me about the mindset headed into this season, 2025, how you guys wanted to make sure that you were answering all of the needs and all of the desires of the Brewers fan this year.
Last year, we remodeled our home plate store that's open year-round. That was a two-year project that we wanted to make a store that felt like a non-game day store, and then when 40,000 people come in here, how can they shop comfortably? We succeeded heavily with that, with really good numbers in areas like the jerseys, that we focused on the home plate store this year. We moved the cash wrap out of the front of the store, put it outside onto the concourse. It allows us to almost have an identical collection of merchandise that you see in our non-game day store over at home plate. So at whatever area of the ballpark you come into, merchandise is accessible.
Obviously, I think the Bob Uecker merch is going to be one of the hot items today. Did you guys feel pressure to make sure you got it exactly right to put Bob? Because, again, it's not like Bob Uecker merchandise was something that you were doing every year, and now to have it out because fans have a demand for it. How much pressure was it in designing Bob Uecker merch?
There was a lot of pressure. We wanted to make sure that we did something, right? We wanted to, but we didn't want it to be focused on the team. Wanted it to be more of an honorable gesture to the Uecker family. So we brought them in. We collaborated with them on what they would like to see. And then we knew that we needed to stay in stock. We don't want to be having running out of this merchandise once we come in. So what we did is we partnered with Brew City down the road from here, where proceeds are going to go to Bob's charities. And we are able to, I mean, we launched last Monday. It's been flying off the shelves, and we placed another order quickly, and we got it in actually last night, so we had enough merchandise for today. So having that ability to work with a local company like Brew City, it's been rewarding for us.
I see that you guys cross-market with the other professional teams in the state. You have the Jordan Love Brewer jersey and then Giannis. Does it ever go the other – can't there be like a Yelich Packer jersey or a Jackson Kuria Bucks jersey or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a lot of – I mean, to elaborate on it, we're actually partnering later this year. We're actually – Tyler Hero actually did a hat design session. And during his hat design session, he made some Brewers ones that once he's done with his season, we're going to launch them sometime during the summer. But to your point, we're looking at, I think, with our T-shirts collection that we're doing a giveaway on in the ballpark, we're looking to work with people across our community that have had ties to this organization and this team. And if we could ever partner with the Packers on a Yelich, that would be fantastic.
I'll give them a ring.
I love that Sean is looking at Gabe like, Gabe, can you make that happen?
Yeah, well, like, he knows. He's a loyal listener. Yeah.
Like, you're the former Packer player, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to, like, we in the store, like, we're always trying to look for that cutting edge, right?
Yeah.
Last year we focused on jerseys. This year you're going to see an expanded jersey assortment, not just of what we wear on the field, but we're actually going to touch base with some of our players' minor league uniforms we're going to bring in. So Jackson Churio's minor league, Bryce Durang's minor league jersey, Christian Yelich's minor league jersey. So we're going to offer that to our fan. We're also going to offer a black jersey for those that might not want to buy our regular normal jerseys. They can have a fashion jersey as well.
Sean Marefka joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How far in advance do you need to know what are going to be the hot ticket items? I always think of, like, the things that you're going to be using or that your fans are going to be using year-round. You know, these type of cups, right? Gabe's got the Master's Cup here. A lot of people use these for their coffee in the morning. Like, do you have to know sort of what's going to be the hot ticket item that everybody wants? Chewy's got his cat water bottle over here, you know, he's going to put to good use. But, like, how do you know what's going to pop?
For the retail stores, we start in May. So if our 2026 line is going to be started up in May of, you know, coming up pretty shortly. For the promo items that we do as giveaways, we start that around June, July, August. A lot of that goes into analytics. They look into different trends of what we're seeing in the marketplace, what other teams have done through promos. And then we all sit collectively and figure out how we're going to brainstorm what we're doing for a promo. But for the merch side of it, it's a pretty quick turn. Like, we have 1 month to learn really what the customer is buying, what the flow is. I think it goes into shifts of goals as a department. I'm very fortunate to have a department that I haven't seen much turnover. I have a lot of staff that has been here for years, and we all have goals within the department that we track to see what we want to do next year, 1 year versus the other.
How much do you guys determine in terms of, like, retro gear? Because there are so many different Brewers logos from all over the years where you can get the different hats and the different stuff that you guys have in the pro shop.
Our focus is predominantly on our current marks. However, we do like to splash in, like, the hatchets you're wearing or the 82 series. We like to splash that in a little bit to give that assortment fresh. Not everybody wants to wear just our normal navy. Some of them want to wear royal, some want green, some want yellow. It's different types of things. One of the things that I can tell you that we're doing and we're finding as a cool trend is we have a retail pop-up shop that's going to be launching today. 414 Day is coming, and we did an exclusive series with Sports Design Sweden to offer just 414 product. It has no marks, just team colors, because we are starting to see a fan base that wants to just put on that Brewers hat, but still also wants to represent this city. So we're trying to transition into that market a little bit as well.
Okay, I have a question for you. So the hats with the names and the logos that obviously some were inappropriate, and then you had the oysters this past weekend. Like, as a merch guy, like, what is your reaction when that happens? Because I got to imagine, Sean, things are getting pushed through committees, and they're in front of people. And so when we saw it and when the world saw, like, those are two just independent examples, we were like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
How does that oyster get on a hat? Well, how does that word get on a hat? How does that happen? And what is your reaction as merch guy?
Well, my as a merch guy, I'm like, okay, if you know about it or I know about it and it gets into somebody's hands, yeah, they'll buy it, right? So I think it's, you want to have a respective balance. You definitely don't want it to be 100% of your assortment, but sometimes throughout the year, as we get into, like, for example, here, we get into, you know, May, July, and August. Sometimes the summers can be fun, but it can be, it's a long season, right? So you got to have some splash of entertainment. I turn back to one of the things that we did on Friday. We launched a social media campaign with Bernie Brewer opening up Topps cards, right? He was just opening them up, and it was showing the rivals, and he was throwing the rivals aside. Something to show engagement. So in a program like the hats you're talking about, I just think it's another fun way to tie back to your fan base and to have fun with, like, a brand that kind of gets out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Okay, but it said boobs.
I would doubt you won't see that in my team store. But you know what?
Sure, sure.
It sells, right?
However.
Yeah, however.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
right. And the oyster looked like a part of the female anatomy.
That's not coming from the Brewers team store guy.
No, I know. I was, again, they talk about how all publicity is good publicity, right? You have that conversation, and then they have turned it into a good thing. Well, they're donating money and whatnot, but like I'm always surprised that nobody was like, wait a minute, hold on, maybe this isn't the best idea for our brand.
How quickly are you guys able to turn stuff around? Because I remember a couple of years ago when the City Connect uniforms were first big, and you have some of this merch, but the fan base really grabbed onto the grill part of that logo.
Oh, yeah.
And then you guys, how quickly are you able to pivot and go, oh, our fans love this, let's make sure we get this on T-shirts and hats?
Yeah, so when the City Connect launched with the grill logo, I don't think we got it as quickly as we could into the market.
Mm-hmm.
It normally takes a domestic hat or a T-shirt, I mean, I'd say 6 to 8 weeks, which back in the day, it was a lot quicker than that. But going through licensing, artwork mock-up, and production, it's probably about 6 to 8 weeks. So what we do is we leave a small portion of our open to buy, we call it, for things like that fans or trends that we see. You know, these guys coming out of the dugout, sometimes they wear some fun stuff, sometimes they do some great things that we want to learn to capitalize on and offer to our fan base. So we pre-book out like what I just mentioned for 26 that we'll be working on, but then we save some room for some fun things like that might jump off and be a trend.
I'm just thinking about some of the things you mentioned in the grill that pop off. Like, sometimes you just never know, right?
You never know.
Like, even when we were watching the Yankees game, and there was a guy, I don't even know who it was, but in the Yankees lineup, who was wearing an elbow guard and was wearing the ankle guard, and it was, like, bright-colored orange and stuff like that. That guy goes on to have an epic month, right? Let's say his April is just off the charts. Then all of a sudden you're going, how can we capitalize on, you know, that player with the elbow guard and the ankle guard and make that available to our young fans? Like, it's just an inexact
science. But that
just
goes off of what you just said with, like, the oysters and the boot, right? Like, it's like right there. Like, we didn't design that logo thinking that, oh, my God, this was going to take off.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's become part of our City Connect, right?
Yeah.
And really a focus. So,
and the Brewers are a national brand. I mean, people might not be Brewers fans or no, but they like how cool
logo,
the hat is.
That logo
it's like
is the best
Expos
in baseball.
We were talking about last week in the Hartford Whalers. I mean, they've been defunct for how long now, and you still see those shirts around. But I see Brewers hats all around the country. I don't know if they're Brewer fans, but I know young kids love them because it looks cool.
I'm really glad you brought that up. We have a New Era hat that they're the on-field provider of our hats. They call me once a year, and they have a large market in Brazil. They call and they want to know what hats we're designing, the grill. They have the colors, the look, the logo shape. It transpires very well, and they have a store down there that they use some of our mock-ups to sell down there. So, yeah, it feels good to see. You know, even when we go down to spring training, it's like to see all the fans that come in, not just from Wisconsin, but from other parts of the country to buy our product.
They just kicked the lights on in here at AmFam Field. Last thing for you.
Final call.
Last call.
Yeah, exactly. I did not think that he looked like that. No, the Euchre pin obviously is selling in the stores. Any Euchre with the plaid? The plaid is obviously so synonymous with you. What can we expect?
We are going to stay away from the plaid.
Interesting.
We'll stay away from the plaid, but I can tell you that the assortment that we have here will truly honor Bob, but then going forward, we are going to collaborate more with the family to try to offer things that we remember about Bob. So, but one of the things we will stay away by is the plaid.
It's so interesting. All right, so the stores will be open. I'm sure they will be packed as everybody gets their 2025 Brewers gear. Sean Marefka, thank you so much for hanging out with us
here
on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is your merch guy. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. Stick around.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Twitter poll this morning, are you in favor of the Yankees using torpedo bats? 61% of people have no problem at all with it, saying this is just an evolution of baseball technology. A proposed poll that we have not put out into the field yet, but certainly could, is, has Joshy started drinking yet?
Oh,
I am saying no. The first beer is getting cracked when they get into the parking lot. which opens, I believe, in about an hour.
So in about an hour,
yes,
Joshy will start drinking. Yep. Josh DiMaggio, our fantastic producer, who will be enjoying opening day today with our buddy Gabe Neitzel. Guys, have a blast today at opening day. It is one of the best days in our city.
Without a doubt.
Hope springs eternal. It is going to be great. There will be so many opportunities to remember Bob Uecker and hopefully start an incredible season this year at AmFam Field. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.